Okay, so verse 26 says, "What is strong and deadly poison that, although small, brings great pain?" Small acts of negative karma done without regret or application of the antidotes. Okay, so what is strong and deadly poison that, although small, brings great pain? Small acts of negative karma done without regret or application of the antidotes. So when we study the 10 non-virtues, we can make a really strong effort to avoid the really big ones, you know. I don't think so many of us have a problem with not killing human beings, you know, or I don't know about, like, theft, you know, because people can, do a lot of things, not by breaking in people's houses, but by cheating people over large sums of money, yeah, or by, you know, sleeping with other partners and things. So, you know, we try and involve, you know, abandon the really gross ones, which are already hard enough. But then there's all the smaller ones, you know, killing insects. I'm not here talking about accidentally doing it, but deliberately doing it. When I go to Singapore, they always ask about this one because they have all sorts of white ants there that eat in the houses, and they somehow want me to say that it's okay to kill them, as if I'm giving absolution. But I can't do that. Yeah. So things, you know, like that, deliberately killing, or taking small items that aren't ours and keeping them. Yeah. Maybe we don't rob banks, or we don't extort money from others, but, you know, we cheat at our workplace, and if it's enough money so that a court case could be brought against you or you could be arrested, that's a big negativity. But even if it's just pencils and pens and other things, paper, you know, that we take that isn't ours, it's small. Yeah. Same thing with flirting with people who are, you know, not partners. This is if in the case of lay people. Telling small lies. You know, so many people tell small lies. Yeah, so there's all kinds of negativities that are smaller, yeah. But, and so we tend to rationalize them or overlook them. So it says we do them without regret, you know. So we rationalize, oh, this had to be done for this and this and this reason. So I don't really regret it, yeah. And especially about the lying, people really justify that, I think, a lot, the lying and the cheating. and then, because there's no regret, then we don't do any purification either. Yeah, because regret is the first step to applying the antidotes and doing the purification process. So then these small things, if we don't purify them, They gestate, they, what's the word? Stew. Yeah, they stew in our mind, or, you know, gestate, and they become bigger, yeah? Or they ferment in our mind. That's a good word. They ferment in our mind and turn, you know, really bad. And especially if we make that a habit of doing small negativities, just doing that habit makes it easier to again do it and do it and do it, to create more and more negativity. And it gives leeway to the mind to eventually create that same action, but in the form of a big negativity. Yeah. So we have to be very, very careful about that kind of thing. And you know, really use the four opponent powers to purify even small negativities. So first is having regret, yeah. Then second is generating refuge, taking refuge and bodhicitta as a way of restoring our relationship with whoever it was that we committed a negativity with, such as our teacher and the three jewels or other sentient beings. Then making a determination not to do the action again, or at least promising for a certain period of time to be really attentive and not doing it. And then fourth is to do some kind of remedial behavior. So this is where reciting Vajrasattva mantra comes in, or offering service at a temple, a monastery, at a charity, you know, doing some kind of volunteer work, meditating on bodhicitta, meditating on emptiness, doing prostrations, making offerings. All these kinds of things are some of the remedial behaviors. So it's important to have all four of the four opponent powers and to apply them not only to big negativities but also to the small ones. Yeah? Because otherwise they become strong and deadly poison. Yeah. Because there's one of the properties of karma. Remember that even a small action can bear a big result in the same way that a small seed can grow into a huge tree. Yeah. And so when we think about this, you know, it really helps us to be more mindful of our precepts and our values during our daily life, and also to have more introspective awareness and really check up with what we're thinking and saying and doing. Yeah. And so to have perfectly pure ethical conduct isn't something that's going to happen by tomorrow. It's something that we work at over a period of time, because the more you get into it, the more you see the subtleties in it. You know, at first, our minds are very gross, and so the negative action seems very gross. It's like, okay, I don't kill anybody. Yeah, that's it. But then as you begin to practice and really look, you begin to see all sorts of different ways in which we can harm. Maybe we don't kill others, but we harm them physically. Yeah, things like that. In the same way, we may not rob a bank, but we definitely take what hasn't been given. Yeah, or we don't lie about our spiritual attainments, but we take things that don't belong to us. Or, more often, we borrow things and don't return them. Yeah? So all of this, you know, to help us prevent creating more negativity, and then also to apply the antidotes to purify whatever we have created. And when we do this consistently, especially like at the end of the day, to review what we did during the day and have, you know, and confess and purify, or as soon as we notice ourselves doing something that isn't so good, to immediately in our own mind regret it, you know, then this is ways to really reduce the impact of that karma and to begin the process of purifying our mind. And that purification is so important in order for us to gain the realizations of the path. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, it's like you listen to teachings and it's like pouring nectar into a filthy vessel, you know, because our mind is completely filled with muck from negativities, and we hear the teachings and then, you know, difficult to for them to really have an effect. But the more we purify and create more merit, then we'll see the stronger effect that the teachings have on our mind. So you're really talking about the mind expanding to consider more welfare than our own, the welfare of the environment, the welfare of the sentient beings we share the environment with, and also about growing beyond the mind that says, I'm only going to do what I feel like doing. Everybody else can do the rest. I don't feel like doing that, you know. I'm going to get dirty doing that. That isn't a very pleasant task. Yeah, it's not the right time, you know. I might stub my little toe, you know. And so just kind of leaving the things that we don't want to do for other people to do. And this is actually one advantage of living in a community, is that you can't continue doing that for too long. Yeah? So we're, you know, it creates, the environment we have here creates the conditions so that we have to expand. We have to understand what karma means. Karma means volitional action. That means intended action. You know, now there are stories in this, you know, in the tradition of accidentally doing something and experiencing some kind of effect. But by and large, the karma had one of the foremost conditions to create a full action is the intention and the motivation. So absent that, it's not going to be a full karma. Okay? So, you know, we have to understand that. But having said that, then you mentioned the thing about getting in our car. Yeah? So we know when we drive somewhere, we hit insects. We don't intend to do it, but it happens. So as a way to avoid that as much as possible, then we try not to drive as much as we can, you know? And so this means monitoring ourselves. We don't just, like, I need something, so I'm getting in the car to go to town to buy it. Or I need this today and that tomorrow and that the next day. It's, you coordinate your shopping, so you do all the things at once, yeah? Then you're on the road less, so you kill less insects, you pollute the world less because you don't use so much petrol. But I find people, by and large, especially in developed countries, really quite unwilling to change to their driving habits, you know. And I think for some people, their car is their refuge, you know. You feel bored, you don't know what to do, you feel upset, you get in your car and you drive somewhere. Yeah? And without realizing the beings that are killed and how much we're polluting because of it. Yeah? So this is what I mean by the more you get into thinking about these things, the more you discover subtleties that before you would never have thought of. Okay, so in terms of a small action bringing a big result, the usual example is a small seed in a tree. But your example is also quite good, that you go out as a kid and you get sunburn, and then you get skin cancer later, you know? And so a small action. But again, it's, you get sunburn repeatedly. It's one of these small actions done repeatedly, and then it brings a big result later on. Yeah. Right. Yeah, as a Guru Rinpoche said, my view is high as the sky, but my intention is what? It's as fine. My attention to conduct is like small, minute particles. Yeah. And, there's many people. I don't know that Guru Rinpoche said that about himself, or he was saying that about people around him. Yeah, but yes, we like to think of ourselves as having the view and being great tantric practitioners and, you know, great this and that. And yet, you know, how we keep ethical conduct, which is the foundation of it all, often tends to be quite lackadaisical. So there's lots of unintentional things we do. Like I said before, they aren't the full karma. If we have the intention not to be careful, if we have the intention, like, I don't care what effect my actions have on others, I just want to get what I want, you know, then that's a specific intention, okay? Then there's also, you know, the intention of confusion, where people have wrong views, and they commit negativities motivated by their wrong views, such as animal sacrifice. Yeah? Now people think, oh, this is a virtuous thing to do, to sacrifice animals to please the deity. Actually, they're creating a lot of negative karma. Or, you know, the motivation of many people that to fight for my side is going to bring me rebirth in a good realm. Yeah, again, an ignorant motivation that justifies killing. Yeah, what you're talking about is a little bit subtler than that, but it also falls under the realm of ignorance when you're saying, we say, well, I just, as an act of attention, I just don't care. Yeah, and then lots of times do things that are damaging to others. Yeah, but then besides that, there are the things where we don't have that intention not to care, but we're just, you know, we're out to lunch, we don't mean any harm, but we're really lacking awareness. And so, you know, that there might be some small something due to that. You know, we might be quite insensitive to others' feelings and say something that's harsh. Yeah. But then if you don't know that that person is so sensitive and you don't have any motivation to harm them, then I don't think that that's really negative, because, you know, that person feels hurt because of the way their mind's operating. And where are they going to go in this world where nobody's ever going to hurt them as long as they're super sensitive? Yeah. But so there's all sorts of different factors. You know, if you know somebody's very sensitive and you deliberately say something that you know is going to get them, then that's a different ball game. You know, there's definitely the intention to harm there.